Welcome to Boozy Books and Movies, where we have a themed alcoholic beverage and discuss books and then how they compare to their movie or TV show counterparts.
Disclaimer, we are explicit, we talk about alcohol, we cover sensitive topics, and best of all, you do not have to read the books or have watched the show or movie to enjoy this podcast. Welcome or welcome back to Boozy Books and Movies. My name is Melina.
And my name is Colton.
And today we are going to continue our discussion of The Last Wish of Geralt of Rivia, The Witcher's Story. We are working our way through this book. We're kind of like on one of the last, this is like the last big story of the book.
Yep.
And last week we covered Dandelion. They were fishing. Geralt and Dandelion, they're fishing down by a river because they didn't have breakfast. And they accidentally found like a bottle that had like a gin in it. A big red creepy gin that in my mind is the Jafar version of the genie in Aladdin. I know we got a description last week, but that's still what I'm picturing. And they walked all day, they came across this town at night, and the guards wouldn't let them in because they have strict rules that no one can come in between sunset to sunrise. So they get holed up in some sort of, like, barracks situation, and they're talking about trying to find a sorceress, and we learn that there's one in the town named Yennefer of Vingerberg, and she's kind of defying all rules because she's practicing even though she shouldn't be.
Practicing witchcraft.
Yep.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right, we are going to continue the story this week.
But first, alcohol. I have some little, like, kind of almost like wine glasses kind of situation here.
I mean, there are wine glasses.
Yeah, but I know, but I kind of don't believe that that's wine.
No.
Because I feel like it'd be something you'd make and you wouldn't go that route. But if you do want to see a picture of the beverage and its ingredients or whatever, you can go onto our Instagram page at Boozy Books and Movies and experience this with me. So pause it right here. Go on out to Instagram, pull up the picture, and experience it with me. So I'm going to do the sniff test.
Do the left one first.
Do the left one first. Okay. Oh, gosh.
Oh, it smells disgusting.
That smells atrocious. Okay.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how much of this I'm going to be able to drink. You see, I poured myself a tiny
little. Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, the smell doesn't give me any kind of hit as to what this is, so I'm going to take a sippy.
Oh, my God. I don't want to take a sip of this, like, at all.
It doesn't taste nearly as bad as how it smells.
True.
I have no clue what is inside of this. It is flavored water. Is there alcohol in this?
Yes. Ooh, that would be funny if I did a drink without alcohol one week, just to really
just to
throw
see
you
if
off.
I would act drunk. Okay.
The other one is different.
Okay.
Similar but different.
Yep. Again, did you just give me flavored water?
Nope.
I don't know what this is.
I wouldn't necessarily expect you to. We got these Gaze wine cocktails.
Ah.
So the first one was a kombucha moscato.
Oh.
I think kombucha is disgusting, so that's why I don't like this one.
Okay.
They're kind of cool. I mean, the first ingredient is carbonated water.
Oh, okay.
So you actually were.
I'm pretty close.
You were right on the flavored water.
That's
carbonated
good.
Water, moscato wine, kombucha, natural flavor, and citric acid.
All right. Cool. And then the alcohol content?
The bottles are really cool. It's like 4%.
4%. Oh.
Yeah, no, like literally the description is, in today's world, mindfulness is something you have to work on. We all need a respite, a moment of pleasure, a time to relax. Gaze is a light, low alcohol, refreshing Moscato produced from sunny vineyards, master blended with green tea for any time you want to be fully in the moment. And I'm reading off of the one. The other one, it's Gaze green tea Moscato.
Stop and gaze, drink in the moment.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Found these at Vinny's.
Right. Sweet.
And they come in these like little metal, like literally like a water bottle type thing.
Yeah.
But they're wine.
All you gotta do is scratch out the little cocktail section and wine section and you're good to go. Bring it to work.
I don't recommend that. do not condone that type of action. But I thought these were cool. And it's definitely an option, and they're not terrible. Like, I just don't like kombucha, like, at all. Mm-hmm. But the green tea one, I don't think. Let me take another sip. Like, it's pretty good. It's got a slight carbonation to it. Mm-hmm. So if you're not, like, a seltzer or, like, a beer person and everyone's out drinking those, I feel like this is a good option. So you're not, so you're literally walking around with a can of wine instead of,
right,
like, a glass of wine feeling, like, prestigious while that's everyone true. Else is drinking beer.
That's true. That's
so
smart.
this is an option. These are kind of cool.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, let's get into it.
All right, Witcher in time, baby. All right, so we cut to going to the house.
Yes.
So,
Beau Barant.
Yep. So the doorman opens the door and instructs Geralt that his lord is asleep and that they must not be woken. Geralt explained that his business was not with the lord, but instead with the lady. So the doorman said that his business would be better served at the whorehouse because he doesn't know what Geralt's talking about. Geralt unfastened his purse on his belt and the doorman said that he would not be bribed. Geralt didn't intend to bribe him, but instead used the purse as a mace and hit the doorman to get him out of the way. Geralt then said, "Money opens all doors." like referenced in the last section. It was dark. Geralt peeked into the room and found a fat woman asleep and snoring. Geralt went into another door, half open, to a big kitchen. On the stone floor was a naked man looking for apple juice. Geralt inquired, and the man was tasked to bring the woman upstairs apple juice.
How random.
Yep. This was the lord of the house, it turns out, that was naked and grabbing apple juice. The lord asked Geralt for help. Geralt shrugged, then nodded, found a jug, and turned to find the lord was now asleep on the floor.
So he was pretty damn drunk.
Yeah, apparently. Geralt walked around, and he was describing the smells. He smelled sour wine, candles, overripe fruit, but there was also a mixture of the scents of lilac and gooseberries. Lots of dishes, goblets, etc. were knocked all over the place. Next to one goblet was a black high-heeled slipper made of basilisk skin. There wasn't a more expensive raw material which could be used in the making of shoes, Geralt commented. The other slipper lay under a chair on top of a carelessly discarded black dress with white frills and an embroidered flowery pattern. Geralt thought about leaving in embarrassment, but decided that the tussle downstairs would have been unnecessary, so he continued on. The smell of lilac and gooseberries grew stronger. He walked into a bedroom. The floor was covered with an enormous shaggy animal skin, a white shirt, and a black stocking. The other stocking hung from one of the four engraved posts which supported the domed canopy over the bed. Geralt cleared his throat.
I was just saying, I don't think he cleared his throat like that first.
Someone in the bed said, "Beau, have you brought the juice?" Geralt said yes. A pale triangular face with violet eyes and narrow, slightly contorted lips appeared beneath the black tresses. "Ooh, I'm dying of thirst," Geralt said. "Here you go." The woman sat up, scrambled out of the bed, clothes, bed sheets. She had pretty shoulders, a shapely neck, and around it was a black velvet choker with a star-shaped jewel sparkling with diamonds. Apart from the choker, she had nothing on. She said, "Thank you." She took the mug and drank. Geralt averted his eyes, politely, but unwillingly. "Who are you?" asked the black-haired woman. She covered herself with an eiderdown? I don't know what that is. Some sort of gown, I guess. "What are you doing here, and where is Barrent?" "Which question should I answer first?" said Geralt. He regretted his sarcasm, because the woman raised her hand, and a golden streak shot out from her fingers. Geralt tried to block it with a sign, but was still thrown back against the wall. "No need," he shouted, seeing her raise a hand again. Geralt said that he comes in peace. Apparently a bunch of servants came running and loomed in the bedroom. She told them to leave. "You are paid to keep an eye on the house, but since this individual has nevertheless managed to get in, I'll take care of him myself. Prepare a bath for me." So they leave and go to prepare a bath for her. So she said, "You parried my spell. You are not a sorcerer, that is obvious, but you reacted exceptionally fast, And then Geralt said, I am Geralt of Rivia, a witcher. Yennefer got out of bed and picked up a coat with a fur collar off of the floor and wrapped herself in it. She drank another mug of juice and walked close to Geralt. She asked why he came and who he hurt to do so. Geralt explained that he didn't hurt anyone. Yen explained that this was the first time being in the presence of a witcher, and the famous white wolf at that. She asked if his eyes automatically adapt to light, or if he could dilate them at will. She touched his face. So she's just kind of like studying him, because she's never met a witcher before.
Yep, we're back to the, no one actually knows what a witcher is.
Yeah, right. So Geralt explained Dandelion's problem. Yen didn't really seem to care, so Yen kind of was just examining him, but she needed more information. To be able to know what to do to help Dandelion, but Geralt tried to start from the beginning, but she kept interrupting him and told him to go to the bath chamber in the cellar, and that she was going to be there soon, and he can explain everything then. He tried to stress the importance of time, but she explained that she wasn't planning on getting out of bed until midday. I'm prepared to do without breakfast. Do you know why? Because you brought me the apple juice. You were in a hurry, your head was troubled with your friend's suffering, you forced your way in here, and yet you thought of a thirsty woman. You won me over, so my help is not out of the question, but I won't do anything without hot water and soap. Go, please. So Geralt's like, alright, cool, bet. She's like, Geralt, one last thing. He's like, yeah? And she's like, make use of the opportunity to have a bath yourself. I can not only guess the age and breed of your horse, but also its color by the smell. So
basically, he stinks.
He is a stinky boy. And that is the end of the section. So he's going down to the bath chamber, and she will be there shortly. And then they can continue with the help for Dandelion.
Right. Next section, 4, starts off with Yennefer entering the bathing chamber as Geralt is finishing up his bath. So, time has passed, and he is finishing up his bath now.
Yay!
So, Geralt, trying to be courteous, turns away from her, and because he's naked, and she says, don't be embarrassed, because she doesn't faint at the sight of a naked man, and that a friend, Triss Marigold, says that once you have seen one, you have seen them all. So, little name drop of Triss there, mm-hmm. who is also a name that you know from games. Mm-hmm. Geralt gets up and wraps a towel around himself, and Yennefer comments on a scar on his chest and asks if it was from a sawmill. He doesn't answer her. She continues just observing him and says that she can hear his heartbeat, but it's slow, and she wonders if he can control how much, like, adrenaline he secretes, so how, like, fast his heart rate is going, if he can control it, basically. Okay, she continues to talk, and then is like, my bath is getting cold, and that she'll take her bath while they talk, so as not to waste any more time, and so she can have hot water. Geralt says he will turn around, and she says, no need. Oh, because she needs to see his eyes while they talk. So she says an incantation, and he sees her black coat slip to the floor. He can no longer see her. So basically, she's naked but invisible.
Yep.
Because she wants to see him.
Yeah.
Geralt gets dressed with the clothes that she brought him while he recounts what happened with Dandelion by the river. He keeps getting distracted. He gets distracted by the soap spuds because they are suds. I don't know why I have spuds. They're suds. They're not potatoes. Because the soap suds are outlining like the shape of her body as she washes. So he can kind of see what she looks like. And Yennefer's like, okay, what happens now? And he continues saying that he performed an exorcism incantation. He then gets distracted again by the water going over her body and revealing more of what her body looks like. He repeats the incantation to her and she laughs and asks, who taught you that? He tells her a priestess from Holdra's Sanctuary and that it's a secret language of the temple. She says, well, that wasn't an incantation and don't repeat that. So we don't know what it is, but it's some sort of insult, I think. Not an incantation. So basically, nothing Geralt did actually got that djinn to go away. He just, like, ran off on his own.
Right.
Like, nothing actually happened.
Right.
He didn't actually do anything to it. So she's still invisible as she gets dressed, and Geralt is distracted by her once again as she puts her underwear on. And then she puts on a lilac and gooseberry perfume, and puts a dress on and then becomes visible again because now she's clothed. So she still doesn't answer him. He's still asking, like, what does that saying mean? She doesn't answer him on what that means, but asks him to help her fasten up her dress, and he takes his sweet ass time doing so. She says, that her theory as to what happened to Dandelion, that it discharged its fury, so basically got, like, rid of a big burst of energy and left. She asks if Dandelion had managed to express a wish. Geralt says, yeah, two stupid ones. But the fulfilling of wishes is just nonsense, Geralt says. She says, well, yeah, it's clearly nonsense, and that she likes that he has the same opinion as her, and that if she ever wants something, she acts on it, and that she always gets what she wants, so she doesn't need wishes, basically. She asks if Dandelion has a seal that kept the bottle closed, which Geralt actually has, like, in his pocket or in his bag, but he lies to her and says, yeah, I think Dandelion still has it. He tells her who he left Dandelion with, and Tyrydian is who he left Dandelion with, and Yennefer knew exactly who that was and where they live. So she makes a portal, but Geralt expresses his distaste for portals, and she's like, yeah, well, I can't really walk on the street, because we had said earlier that she has to stay in the house to stay under, like, to not get harassed and kicked out of town, because she's not paying her taxes.
Right. Damn taxes.
And through the portal they went. And that is the section 4.
Nice. Cool. Section number 5? Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce this guy's name? The Sheridan?
Tyrydian?
The Tyrydian.
The Tyrydian.
The Tyrydian is concerned about how long the magical procedure is taking upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Because they went through the portal.
Yep, they went through the portal. And now they went to the it's just Tyrydian.
Like a very small portion of time passes between each section. Just like things that don't necessarily need to be described, like girl taking a bath.
Right.
Just like things like that. Just like very small portions of time pass between each section. Right.
Tyrydian is concerned about how long the magical procedure is taking upstairs. Geralt is drinking from a gross elven tea and says that Yennefer wanted no one to interrupt her while she is completing this process. The Tyrydian mentioned that Yennefer is not usually one to help other people spontaneously, and she typically requires some sort of payment in return for her services. Geralt says that he did not get that vibe from her and thought that she was a great, lovely person. The Tyrydian told Geralt to be... I don't know. Tyrydian told Geralt to be careful because he isn't the first person to have such an opinion of her and then get burned later. And so there's kind of like a little backstory here about sorcerers and sorceresses and that kind of stuff. So... I guess in, like, sorcerer circles, typically they have to be held to, like, a higher standard and all that jazz. But anyways, like, if you are a person that has any kind of magical predisposition, they were pretty much abducted and taken to be trained and all that stuff. And typically these people are ugly children. They're just not very attractive people, and that they are, and they have magical abilities or whatever. So if they actually grow up and have these magical abilities, then they undergo procedures to make them be attractive or try to be attractive. Being attractive is part of the is required due to the like prestige of their profession. And like if you're gonna be the sorceress to a king, you need to be hot, I guess. You know, you gotta be attractive.
You have to be presentable to be, you know, next to them in court. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Because you're probably protecting them too, so you probably do have to be nearby. So you're gonna be seen a lot.
Yep. So the result of these procedures was that pseudo pretty women were created, like pseudo pretty women with an angry and cold eye, eyes of ugly girls, apparently. So essentially it comes down to like, they look very attractive, but if you get close to them and you can kind of see some imperfections of that kind of stuff from when they were ugly or whatever. So anyways, Tyrydian emphasizes that Yennefer is dangerous. And just as he says this, she calls down to Geralt, asks for his assistance. So the Witcher approached her upstairs and started to look at her features, and he noticed that her left shoulder was slightly higher up than her right shoulder, her nose was a little long, and her lips were a little narrow.
Which I will say, in the video game, they definitely do not do any of that. Like, she is just seen as very, like, perfect and, like, that definitely is not portrayed, at least I don't see that at all.
That could also be something we address later, too.
That could be, because the games take place so much farther in the future.
Right.
That...
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So he asked how Dandelion was doing, and she said, and she was like, "Do you doubt my abilities?" And he's like, "All right, bet. Okay, cool." And so she's like, "Yeah, he should be fine, and he should be able to sing once again." And then Geralt's like, "Yo, can I see him?" And she's like, I guess. And so they go into the room. Mm-hmm. The poet is asleep, and he's having wonderful dreams, and he is smiling like an idiot and moaning and all kinds of weird stuff. So then Geralt notices a glass sphere the size of a small watermelon aflame with a milky light in the center of the floor, and it is above a pentagram. Yennefer locks the door and makes the key completely disappear. So then she trapped him. Yep. And so she says that she is going to get something that she wants. Geralt knows that she is the pentagram. It makes it clear that she's trying to summon a demon of some sort, and use Dandelion as the bait. Geralt is not very happy about this. But Yennefer continues to say that, yeah, Dandelion's not going to be harmed. Everything's fine. Everything's groovy, smoothie. No need to worry. I just need him a little bit. I'm trying to capture something. At this point, Dandelion moans about some girl named Virginia and her beautiful breasts.
Well, yeah, remember Virginia was the one who was rejecting his advances right. And he made the wish.
Right, right. Yennefer explains that she needed to make some nice dreams for him, so she searched into his mind, but didn't really find much because he's just doesn't have a whole lot going on up there. And so she also said that she knows that Dandelion does not have the djinn seal, and that she knows that Geralt has it. So she asked Geralt to give it to her, and it is the first payment in a line of multiple installments, essentially, for her services to save Dandelion. He is in her debt. So Geralt insists that before he makes any payments on this, he wants to move Dandelion to a safe location, but she explains that she still needs him. Geralt assumes that she plans to summon the djinn that caused this mess in the first place. He says that if she wants to put Dandelion in risk of injury, then that would no longer be a fair trade, and that he won't allow it, and that he won't continue to make payments on this until he knows that they are both perfectly safe. But then, all of a sudden, Geralt realizes that something is wrong. Yennefer secretly was casting a spell on Geralt this time while they were talking, and it froze his entire body other than his mouth. So he could not move, his muscles were completely stuck, and he was even more trapped than before. So,
that sucks.
Yep. He was no longer able to move. He tried to yell for Sheridan, but it was no use. Yennefer magically eliminated all the windows, doors, curtains, blah, 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 decorations. Like, everything from the room is gone. No doors, no way to get in or out.
It's now Rapunzel's tower.
Yep. And then even if Sheridan did come, he was under a different kind of spell. He was in love with Yennefer, and he would do whatever she wanted. What?
That was random.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what the book says, man. What do you want from me? That's why she chose this house for the procedure or whatever, I guess. So Geralt tried to struggle, but Yennefer explained that it was no use, and she didn't really need magic to coerce him, but because he would do anything for his friend anyways. Yennefer stood in front of him and said that her outstanding obligations and accounts needed to be settled in town, but she could have anybody do it, but that she wanted Geralt to do it because he owes her. So she said that he will pay for the cold way he looked at her, for the eyes which fish for every detail, and the sarcastic tone of voice he has. I don't know, seems kind of petty, but she grabbed his hair and kissed him violently, sinking her teeth into his lips. Geralt's medallion on his neck quivered, and something blazed in his head, while a terrible humming filled his ears. He fell into darkness, and when he awoke, he was kneeling. Yennefer said, "Do you remember?" And then a voice says, "Yes, my lady." It was Geralt saying this. He didn't know that he was doing that. So she said, "Go on and carry out my instructions." So Geralt got up and walked down the stairs. He explained that as it felt like sand bees were buzzing in his head, and all he could do is smell lilac and gooseberries. Several people tried to stop him or, like, you know, say, "Hey, what's going on?" But he could not stop. He walked outside.
He's in the zone.
Yep. He walked outside, and they kind of started following him. But essentially, Geralt's last thought was that, hey, it's kind of humid and it's probably going to rain soon. And that was his last thought. End of section 5-ish.
We will find out that was not his last, that was his last thought, but not his last action.
That's true. That is true.
All right, we are going to end it here and continue with this story next week. This is a long story. It might be another 2 weeks before we get the conclusion to it, but we will find out what Geralt did after he loses his thoughts in the next episode.
Ba-bum-bum!
All right, see you next week.
Bye-bye!
As always, thanks so much for listening. We would love to connect with you on social media. Our Instagram is Boozy Books and Movies, and that is where we post all of the pictures of our drinks. Twitter, or X, is at Boozy Book Movie, where we post our episode updates. And we have a TikTok, which is also Boozy Book Movie. And our email is boozybooksandmovies@gmail.com if you want to reach out to us. Please rate and review us wherever you are listening, and don't forget to listen every Monday.